Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. And I am the editor-in-chief of Divorced Girl Smiling, which is a website, a podcast, and coming soon, an app. I know I keep saying that, but it is going to come out. I promise. We're just trying to make it perfect. So we expect the app to be out in just a couple of weeks. Today, I want to talk about a process that people use to get divorced called mediation. Now, when I was getting divorced, I had never heard the term mediation, so it was foreign to me. It was intimidating. I was like, what is this? So I am here to educate you about mediation and tell you why I am a huge fan of it and sort of give you a step-by-step process. And in order to do that, I decided to have a guest on the show. And so Brian James is here with me, and Brian has been a mediator since 2005. He is partners with a dear friend of mine, Ellen Feldman, and the two of them are a mediation team in Chicago and, you know, all around Chicago, and they mediate. So, Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited about this because I know that in my Divorce Girl Smiling Facebook group, I get a lot of questions. Like, I'm really nervous about mediation. I don't really understand it. So I think this is going to be really helpful for people.
Cool.
When people get divorced, they can go through litigation. They can go through mediation. So why don't you explain that, like what the divorce choices are, what mediation is, and why it's a good thing.
Sure. So most people, when they get divorced, they hire attorneys and go through the typical litigation process. Mediation is an alternative to that litigation, cutthroat, go after each other process. In mediation, and a mediator, our jobs are to help our clients reach all the necessary financial and parenting agreements, just like they would with attorneys and through litigation, but outside of the courts, doing it in a more peaceful and civil manner, keeping themselves out of court, keeping their children out of court, keeping the costs down. Instead of the divorce taking a couple of years, through mediation, people can be divorced within 6 months. Mediation is simply a kinder and gentler way to go through the divorce process and help people remain good co-parents and save a lot of money.
Okay, love that answer, but let me ask you this. So people listening are probably thinking, well, I'm not going to sit in a room with my ex who just left me for a younger woman or whatever the reason is. I can't stand him. He can't stand me. So how does that work?
Sometimes that is difficult. You know, for people to get the most out of mediation, they have to be ready to move forward. They have to be ready to work on the issues that need to be agreed to. You know, it's easy for me to say, come in with no emotions, but I know that's not true. Emotions, of course, run wild during a divorce. Anger, sadness, wanting to kill your ex, you know, whatever the case may be. But when mediation works right, people are at a place where they feel that they can move forward. They still may be angry. They still may hate the other person, but they're able to focus on the issues.
Right.
And right now in our pandemic world, we are doing all of our mediations via Zoom. So our clients don't have to be next to each other. They don't have to be in the same room. They don't even have to be in the same residence with each other. They can be anywhere in the world they want to be. And we've actually found over the last year of doing Zoom that it's actually keeping people calmer because they're not having to drive to an office together. They're not having to take off work to come see us or juggle this or juggle that. It's making the process actually more peaceful. I mean, you're
you know
still
that
gonna have
That makes a lot of sense, and I bet you moving forward, a lot of mediate people will choose to mediate via Zoom because when you're first getting divorced, it's very uncomfortable to be in the same room with your ex-spouse. I mean, it's like you just feel very uncomfortable and scared, and your heart is beating, and you know, and so maybe the safety of being behind a Zoom screen at that point in your life would make sense.
Yeah, I found over the last year, I kind of just did a study a couple days ago, and clients are actually getting done quicker than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
It's costing them less money, about 20% less than what I was doing like 2 years ago with clients on average.
Mm-hmm.
And people just seem to be more civil. I mean, the pandemic, of course, is driving people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just found that having mediations over Zoom is working. And I'm probably going to keep doing that for our practice.
Right. But so now that things are opening back up, it might end up being a choice. Would you like to do this through Zoom or in person? So it's really nice. That's great. But I want to go back and clarify, because I didn't know this when I was first getting divorced. So the litigation process is basically two people hire each person hires an attorney. You go in, and basically the judge is making all your decisions for you, the ones that you can't agree on with your attorneys. So basically, Brian, what you're saying is mediation is a chance for the couple to come in with you and Ellen, which I always thought this was great. There's a man and a woman there, so nobody feels like anyone's taking any sides. And you go in and you and Ellen kind of give your guidance, and the people are not forced, but the couple has to kind of pick their priorities. Here's what I want. Here's what I want. Each person kind of says it. And you come to the agreements yourself instead of having a judge hear the cases and then decide.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. And then if you live in Illinois, now I don't know about other states, you are required here to try mediation before you go into actual litigation. So there's either one of two things of why someone would hire a mediator. They have to because the judge has said that, or they're choosing to try this alternative method instead of litigation.
Yep.
Okay. So why don't you take me through, I know every mediator is a little bit different, but take me through yours and Ellen's process. Like what would happen if somebody, from the time somebody called you and said, okay, my ex, soon to be ex, and I are going to try mediation. What's the next step?
So when someone calls us, you know, some people are ready to start the process. Other people would like a consultation. So either way, we do everything together with our clients. It's the two of us and the two of them. So it's the four of us working together. And at a first meeting, one of the first things we do is we go through and give our clients a common sense explanation as to what everything means. You know, people talk to their friends, their family, their coworkers, strangers, and everybody wants to give their opinion. And sometimes those are good, and sometimes those actually make the process harder. So we go through and just give a very simple explanation, non-legalese, as to what it is that they need to agree to. So they can walk out of the first meeting and know, wow, this is what we need to do. And then it's boiled into parenting agreements and financial agreements. Like you had said, what do people need? What do people want? What do they not care about? What's scaring them? What's making them nervous? So Ellen and I try to find out what's the driving factor as to why someone is nervous or scared. And we try to help resolve those issues so they feel more comfortable going through the process.
Okay, you bring up such a good point, because I think that people hear that, okay, nowadays, like, it's 1 week at mom's, 1 week at dad's, and people feel like they have to accept the custody agreement that is the law in Illinois. Now, maybe there's a woman who travels for her job all the time, so she doesn't really want that custody. So I think what's so great about mediation is you can say, you know what, honestly, I don't need that, because it's better for the kids if we do a different kind of custody arrangement that works for both of us around our jobs, better for the kids, better for the parents, and then maybe, you know, money changes because of that. So really, tell me if I'm right here, there are no rules in mediation. The divorcing couple gets to set the rules and they agree.
Exactly. That's one of the biggest things with mediation is that our clients are the ones making all the decisions for their children and their finances.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I hear this scenario a lot. Sometimes custody comes down to money. So maybe one of the people don't want to pay and one person really wants to be the residential parent and have the most time with the kids. And maybe that person can say, listen, I'll forego a little bit of money to get the kids, right? I mean.
Yep. And that's the beauty of mediation, because it's about being creative, thinking outside the box. And it's Ellen and my job to make sure that the agreement is equitable, mm-hmm. that it works for our clients, that it's in their children's best interest. You know, in Illinois, there's guidelines, there's statutes. You know, if people can't agree, you do this. But in mediation, it's all about what makes the most sense for the whole family. And,
right.
And sometimes it's not your normal, you know, mom has the kids and dad has them on the weekends.
Right.
It's a lot more about what's in the kids' best interest. How active are the parents? Does someone travel? Does someone work nights? And crafting an agreement that makes sense.
And so you and Ellen both know what would happen if the couple went to court. So you can say, listen, if you can't agree on this, we can't guarantee this, but if you went to court, here is how we think a judge would rule. Now, knowing that information, let's talk about what you guys really want, right?
Yep, because ultimately, if our clients can't make a decision on an issue, a judge is going to tell them what to do,
mm-hmm.
and someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. So we really, you know, when it comes down to when people get stuck, we really push our best. We're not going to force people to agree. That's not what mediation's about.
Right.
But we'll go through and discuss all the pros and cons of what might happen if they go to court.
All right. Is the goal of mediation for people to walk out of there thinking, okay, I didn't get everything I wanted, but this is a deal I feel like I can live with and I feel pretty good about it. Would that be a fair assumption?
And that's all that we ask. We want people to make sure they understand what their agreement means. We want to make sure that they know how to implement it. And you're not going to get everything you want in a divorce.
But you're probably going to get less of what you want in litigation. Well, it's a gamble. You're gambling.
You are. And and why gamble with your children when you two can work something out? And again, it may not be ideally what you wanted in the beginning. But if it's an agreement that you know you can live with, that's all we ask for.
Right. Okay, so tell me, how many sessions? Is it like you come every week? Like, tell me how that works, and then do you charge by the session? Yeah. How does that work?
So how we work is we meet with our clients typically every 1 to 2 weeks, 2 hours at a time. However, the pace is really theirs. You know, some people want to get through this, and we meet every week, like every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 4 or 5 straight weeks, and we're done. Other people are a little laid back, nonchalant. So we really try to gauge everything on how our clients are to fit what they want. As far as costs go, Ellen and my combined rate for both of us is $250 an hour. We have a $2,000 retainer that is due when someone hires us that buys them 8 hours up front.
Gotcha. Okay, so let me ask you this. So that sounds so much less expensive because you know that the max you're going to pay is $2,000. But if you have to go more, I understand that you're going to charge them more. Now, what is like the range that I know you said there's no typical, but is it possible to get divorced using only the $2,000 that you gave, that the couple gave you?
Yes. And the reason why I set the retainer at $2,000 is roughly 50% of our clients, that $2,000, presuming they are civil, can do homework on their own in between the sessions, will cover the entire mediation process from start to finish.
That's amazing. 50% of the people end up with the two or less.
Yep.
Okay, now, what do you mean homework? What are they doing as far as homework in between the sessions?
So if our clients are civil and they agree and we agree they can sit down together at the kitchen table and work on stuff, we'll send them a parenting plan to work on. We'll send them holidays to work on. We're big believers in as much as our clients can do on their own without Ellen and I, we want them to do, because those are the best agreements they're ever going to reach, because they're reaching them on their own, mm-hmm. and they have that ultimate buy-in. Because with divorce agreements, they're only as good as the people who honor them, and that is the clients. So, you know, like everybody, if someone tells you what to do, like a judge, you're maybe inclined or not inclined to do it, but if the two of you are reaching those agreements together and you believe those are good for you and good for your children, those agreements are going to stand the test of time, and you're not going to have arguments and fights down the road.
So it might happen where they do their homework and then they come back the next week to you guys and say, okay, there was one thing we can't agree on. And then you and Ellen, what do you do in that case?
That's when someone has a conflict, you know, we find out the why. Mm-hmm. Not the superficial, it's because I hate him, because she did this. Why do you really feel the way you do? And that's really important. And one of the things with mediation is confidential. So nothing that is said in mediation can ever be used against people if they go to court.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone gets stuck, which happens, we need to know the real reasons why. Is it because you're mad about this? Is it because your spouse has maybe an alcohol problem? Or this?
So do you ever talk to each spouse individually and the other one doesn't hear what the other one's saying?
Yep. Sometimes we will, if either we or one of the clients feels it's necessary, we'll have confidential conversations with them if they're not sure how to say something to their spouse. We kind of help coach them a little bit. But knowing that everything we say to our clients is always coming from a holistic, what's good for everybody. Because we'll get clients that will call us individually and say, hey, is this really good for me?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
not our job. We're not an advocate for you. We're an advocate for all of you. Because if, in our professional opinion, our clients are coming to a parenting agreement or coming to a financial agreement that we know is not equitable and appropriate, it's our job to say something. We're not there just to say, oh yeah, that's wonderful, great. Like some people think, hey, we write up an agreement, you're gonna draft it up and a judge is gonna sign it. That doesn't happen all the time. If anyone in the process, the mediator's attorney or a judge, feels that that agreement is not equitable for everybody or not good for the children.
Right. Okay, I have another question. So what happens after you've reached all the agreements in mediation? So what's the next step after that? Let's say, Sure. Okay, everybody feels good. Here's what we're agreeing on for parenting, finances, assets, everything. Okay, then what?
Sure. So at the end, Ellen and I draft up a document called a Memorandum of Understanding. That document spells out all the parenting agreements, all the financial agreements. During the mediation process, we help them gather the required financial documents. We help them fill out their financial affidavits. At a last meeting, we go through the Memorandum of Understanding together with them, which is wonderful on Zoom because I can pull it up on my screen. Everybody sees it, and I make edits and changes in real time as we're talking. Once that meeting is done, and our clients sign off and say, yes, this is what we want, that's when, if neither one has an attorney, that's when we'll refer one of them or both of them to an attorney to draft up the legal documents for the county that they live in.
Okay, or if one or both have attorneys, you pick one of the attorneys and they draft it up.
Exactly. Okay. So a majority of our clients come to us without ever going to attorneys.
Okay.
So they're just, you know, say they just started talking divorce a month ago and they find us online, they have a friend who got divorced and used us. Whatever the reason, they'll come to us pro se or without an attorney. There are some mediators that require people have attorneys during mediation. That's not something that Ellen and I require.
Okay.
But if someone wants to have an attorney, of course, they're more than welcome to. But we don't demand that they have an attorney because this is their process.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all about our clients and this being their process.
Now, let me ask you this question. Let's say someone comes to you and the mediation didn't work and one of them says, you know what, I'm going to get an attorney. Do you think it holds up where if you're in Illinois, they've already tried mediation so they don't have to? Or is the judge going to say you have to do mediation again?
No, if they've already attempted mediation, then they've met the requirement for mediation.
So basically, if somebody calls you before they go to an attorney or litigation, they're already going through the process that they have to anyway, legally, if you live in Illinois.
Yeah, because in Illinois, if once a case is filed, if you cannot reach a parenting agreement in a certain number of days, the court is required to order you to go to mediation.
Yes. Okay, so tell me this. Who does mediation work for and who does it not work for?
So mediation works for anybody that is willing to compromise, is willing to not go for the jugular, who's not thinking they're going to get everything, and who wants to put their children's best interests at the forefront of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Mediation does not work for people who have that crazy belief that they're going to get everything. For people who draw their line in the sand on an issue and say, you know what, I'm not agreeing to this no matter what. You agree to what I want or we're done. Mediation doesn't typically work for people like that. There's some situations where if there's active domestic violence going on, mediation is not appropriate.
Or maybe addiction.
And we work with people who have addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we build stuff into a parenting agreement regarding the addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, alcohol, drugs, mental health, gambling. You know, that's part of the confidentiality and us working together with our clients. There's a lot of, you know, some people have a lot of embarrassing stuff that they don't want to be aired in public
mm-hmm.
realm, which is the court. And they mediate. And, you know, sometimes people's issues are so severe that we've had to fire them. We've had to say, guys, you know what, this just isn't appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone is bullying somebody and they're agreeing and reaching agreements that we know are not good and they don't listen to anything that we say.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Tell me if you agree with this. I think mediation can't work if someone has so much anger and bitterness that all they want to do is screw over the other person. Like, you really have to go into mediation thinking, okay, I might have all these negative feelings towards my ex, and I'm so mad right now at him or her, but this is a business deal. I'm trying to do what's best for my kids. I want to move forward. I want the divorce to be behind us. And I'm going to really try to think objectively and not let my emotions get involved so that we can both walk away from this and reach agreements.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are able to do that, even if they can't do it 100% of the time, as long as they're always willing to try to do that,
mm-hmm.
then mediation is going to work. You know, we have people that come in and say, you know what, I do not want to get divorced. My spouse is the one that wants a divorce. I don't. But I know it's going to happen, so I'm here and I will be productive and part of the conversation.
Right. Love it. Okay, last question. Why did you become a mediator? You've been a mediator since 2005. You're a graduate of Northern Illinois University. You completed Northwestern University's training in mediation and conflict resolution. And then I wrote, prior to becoming a mediator, you spent 10 years in the criminal justice system helping victims of domestic violence as well as divorcing couples and their children.
I used to work in the court system. I used to see what happened to people when they went to court. Even good parents going to court, and you have attorneys, and this isn't all attorneys, but you have attorneys that talk them into fighting and arguing and trying to get the kids more just so they can get more money versus doing what is in their family's best interest. And it burned a lot of bridges, and it made what should have been a good post-divorce life for my clients working together, or for clients working together, they became bitter. Because one thing is how you act towards each other during the divorce process is going to be a snapshot of how your post-divorce life is.
Absolutely. You know what? I've heard that before. Like how you were, how your relationship isn't really going to change. If you bickered and fought a lot, you're going to do that after the divorce.
Yeah, I mean, people, we say this to people, you are who you are. If your spouse is a narcissist, if your spouse is late to everything, mediation and divorce isn't going to change that. You still are the people who you are. Knowing who you are, we try to build that into your agreement and try to get you closer. We're not expecting people to be, on the same page with everything and all the rules at the same houses and agree on all the punishments. Because people, that's sometimes why they get divorced, because they differ so greatly on those things. And we try to get them a little closer so they don't have as many conflicts. So once the divorce is signed, they can put it in a drawer, hopefully never look at the agreements again, and just live life with their children and be good co-parents.
Oh, I love it. I am such a huge fan of mediation. I think it's the best way to get divorced. So tell our listeners how they can reach you. The name of the company is CEL and Associates, and tell us how they can reach you.
The easiest way to reach us is you can give me a call, 312-524-5829. You can go to our website, which is www.yourdivorce.org, and you can also email us through the website.
Or you can find them on Divorce Girl Smiling.
Yes. Just go right to your website. Yes.
And Brian and Ellen wrote an article called How Does Mediation Work? A Step-by-Step Process, and all of their contact information is in there. So, Brian, thank you so much. This has been so helpful. I just think you and Ellen are wonderful, wonderful, smart and mediators, good listeners. Ethical, been doing it a long time. I just would highly, highly recommend you guys. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Sure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And if anyone wants to learn more, you can visit divorcegirlsmiling.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.